Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on the life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, the Executive Director for Pregnancy Center Coalition of Minnesota.
Yes. That's wonderful. I'm glad you are doing that. Yeah. That is so good. So
we had our first meeting this week. With members of the coalition. Yeah.
Good. Was it a good
fellowship meeting, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's there have been directors of pregnancy center fellowship meetings going on for 30 plus years in the Twin Cities. But this group that's been created that you're now the executive director of is expanding to everybody in the whole state. And I love that. I think protecting the pregnancy centers and making sure that they're getting, they're getting taken care of in the legislature by the pro-life lobbyists and so forth, as well as with those who seek to do harm to them physically and so forth, as well as good training.
Yeah.
I think it's just great to have all those coming out of one organization. So I'm excited.
I am so excited. Yeah.
I'm excited for you too. I'm glad you're doing it.
Thank you.
Well, we got lots to talk about today, and the first thing is upcoming. And upcoming is our sidewalk counseling training in St. Cloud. Just the update for St. Cloud is the Planned Parenthood continues to look for an employee who will run their ultrasound program for the purposes of killing unborn babies for the first time out of the St. Cloud satellite office. And so our folks up there who already have been there doing 40 Days for Life for years and years and years are ready and working. And now we want to have the sidewalk counseling training ready to go as well. So that's coming up May 19th, beginning at 7 p.m. And if you're in the St. Cloud area and you want to participate in the training or closer to St. Cloud than maybe some of the places here in the Twin Cities, all you need to do is register, and you can call 651-797-6366. That's 651-797-6366 to register for this training. You'll get the details on location and all that stuff at the time of registration. So that's all happening. And a reminder, we've talked about this a couple weeks already, but the world's largest diaper drive is underway through the month of May. This is an amazing thing going on. There are now a larger list of participating pregnancy centers that are involved, but this is simply go and purchase diapers for babies from infancy to toddlers and drop them off at your local pregnancy center. If you drop it off at one of the centers that is participating, then they'll actually get a count of the number of diapers that are collected. Last year, just a little more than 340,000 diapers were donated during the largest diaper drive. So this year they're hoping to far exceed that number. So we're letting everybody know about that. So that's a good one. And Angela, this is the type of story that makes me smile inside a little bit, and I'm not sure I'm allowed to, but I do. So there's an organization called the Minnesota Abortion Action Committee. Yeah. This is a radical pro-abortion organization that has come out and has protested at pregnancy help centers. Coincidentally, some of the days that they've come out to protest at those pregnancy help centers, those centers were vandalized. I'm not saying they did it, but
right.
There's a juxtaposition there that's pretty strong.
It is. It is fascinating.
So, and they've come out and they've protested our 40 Days for Life events at Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. So we got an idea what these guys are about, and they sound very angry and troublesome and all that stuff. Well, we had a billboard up in Minneapolis, not too far from where they get together and have their meetings. And the billboard said, "I am human. Why is it okay to abort me?" Had this beautiful picture of an unborn baby on it. Well, they decided that they were going to have a Mother's Day so-called pro-choice day of protest. And they were going to go near our, they call it anti-choice, billboard to protest the fact that we had the billboard up.
Oh, my.
Claiming the truth. Proclaiming the truth. Well, the funny thing is, 2 weeks earlier, the billboard, it's on a rotation basis, so it goes from location to location to location. And at the beginning of May, it was set to be located somewhere else. So by the time they went out there on Sunday, May 10th, on Mother's Day, it was gone.
Oh, that is funny.
There's the part that makes me smile.
Yeah.
They came out to protest something we're doing, and we're already moved to another location to proclaim the truth, too. But it gives me the idea that maybe we need to make a more long-term effort with a billboard in that neighborhood. So,
I mean, it could be a lot of fun.
Well, it got vandalized once. So that also says we probably should have it there too. But all right. Well, here's a good one for you. The federal government, the Trump administration, has put a new website together. And it's the exact opposite of what the Biden administration did. So the Biden administration put out a website that was for reproductive freedom or some whatever their phraseology was. It was basically how to get an abortion. This new one now, it's called moms.gov, and it's about helping new and expectant mothers. And one of the first links you see is to option line, which is run by my friend Joriel Godsey with Heartbeat International, and it's an amazing link to have that right there. Now, further down there may be some links that we may not be in complete like of, but they're overall it's a good site, a very good site, and we're glad that. That the current government has that there instead of something to help kill babies. So
I feel like it's funny because I feel like I'm a bit more cynical. I got to be honest, because they are also trying to create a marketplace for surrogacy and IVF with this endeavor. So while I love the option line is like right front and center, I mean, there are some other serious concerns with this mom's website.
But that's not on the site right now. Yeah, those things are not on the site at this point in time, though. So
hopefully
they add that to the site, then we're going to yell at it.
Okay.
But right now it's clean. It's
interest.
Yeah, okay. Right now it's pretty clean still. So
good.
I know. Right. Yeah, there was talk by some government officials, including Trump, about doing that. But it mm-hmm. hasn't happened so far. So we'll keep an eye on it. And if it gets bad, then we'll tell everybody to call President Trump at Mar-a-Lago and say, stop it. But, the FDA director, McCarrey, resigned this past week. And there were a lot of speculations as to why he resigned and so forth. He was starting to say things that were contrary to what the Trump administration wants to see done with the FDA. And of course, that's going to always get you in trouble when you're going against the grain with your boss. So then they bring in, and by the way, a lot of pro-life leaders believe that McCarrey was the reason why we were finding some of the inaction and difficulties with dealing with the abortion pill, that he was dragging his feet and maybe was actually trying to keep it in the same free for all that it's been since the Biden administration. So that's speculation, but it's out there as well. So the Trump administration appoints a new acting FDA commissioner, and we find out he used to do attorney work for Planned Parenthood and out of Orlando, Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just got back from Orlando from our little dinner down there. It was a very fun evening, but anyhow, but now he's been, pro-lifers started complaining about that, and he's now come out and said he regrets his involvement with Planned Parenthood in the past. It's always good to be regretting that, and says that he is pro-life.
Oh, interesting.
Well, honestly,
better for him that he made a statement, because I feel like a lot of the time these people will just pray and wait for this to go away. You know, like they want to even address it because it's too
well. We had a politician here in Minnesota that got caught that he had been working for Planned Parenthood for a while. That was Dr. Scott Jensen. And he's trying to run for governor, trying to get the endorsement to run for governor. And it comes out that he had worked for Planned Parenthood. And instead of saying, I regret ever doing that, he just gave excuses why he did it.
He tried to minimize it.
I prefer that you actually admit you should never have done it.
Totally. I agree.
Doesn't mean he doesn't really mean that, but it's much better to hear that.
It's a better response, though.
Yeah, much better response with that. Well, the situation with the whole legal entanglements over the abortion pill coming out of the lawsuit stemming from in Louisiana. You know, just a quick reminder: the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, first of all, the judge that had the case, the federal judge that had the case, ruled that he believed that the state of Louisiana would probably win the case, in essence. They had plenty of reasons to believe that, but then he refused to put an injunction on the mail order side of doing the abortion pill. Louisiana appealed just that point, just the lack of getting the injunction, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, a three-judge panel, unanimously ruled that the in-person requirement for the abortion pill must be there and enjoined the mail order abortion pill concept. Well, just a couple days later, Supreme Court Justice Alito, who was on the emergency side of stuff for the Fifth Circuit Court, ruled that he was going to pause the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals decision for 1 week. Well, last Monday was 1 week, and he reissued the pause through later this week. And of course, we pre-record the show, so we don't know what the fuller U.S. Supreme Court is doing with that situation. So we'll report on it next week. But as of right now, as we're talking, as you're hearing us, whereas we are talking, recording this, it's still in that limbo situation with the U.S. Supreme Court. But now the states of Missouri, Kansas, and Idaho have filed a legal notice for supplemental authority before the U.S. District Court of Eastern District of Missouri, based on what the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals had just done, seeking in their own separate lawsuit to also have the FDA restore the requirements prior to the Biden administration. So that's there. Then we have 23 states that have stepped in with the legal briefs before the U.S. Supreme Court on this case, saying, and it includes South Dakota, they're the latest ones to jump in, I believe, but they're saying, hey, wait a minute, you do need to have this injunction while this case gets worked out, because this mail order stuff is affecting our states as well. And then more than 100 lawmakers, federal lawmakers, have joined in, also urging the U.S. Supreme Court to reinstate the abortion pill safeguards. So just a lot of legal action going on here with briefs and amici and all sorts of things now that it's in front of the U.S. Supreme Court at this time. So we hang on with prayer and hope that they'll rule correctly and we'll get this thing settled quickly as well. So this is one of the reasons why this next story is one of the reasons why there are such great issues with the abortion pill, and it's because its abuse, its ability to be abused. First of all, the great issue is it kills babies. Let's not forget that. That is number one. And in all the things we're talking about, it still kills babies, whether you put safeguards in there for the woman or not, it still is intended to kill babies. So that's number one. But there's also this misuse of it, this abusing of it outside of the purpose of killing the baby, where a woman seeks out an abortion. You've got people who are slipping the abortion drugs on women who don't want abortions. And so this is a case where husband and wife have separated. He's asked for a separation. They're going to counseling, marriage counseling. So they go to a session of marriage counseling, and the wife says, "I'm pregnant." And he was not happy at all. It said it was not well received. So he began poisoning her with abortion drugs.
So wicked.
Yeah. So now, fortunately, the baby survived, which is not usually the case in these situations. But this was mail order abortions. So again, this is exactly why Louisiana has brought the lawsuit, or at least a big part of why they're doing it. And, you know, Angela, we've talked about these, what, a dozen times over the past year or two, where somebody has, a man has decided to slip these drugs to the pregnant girlfriend or whatever the case might be, wife even, as in this case, because they simply don't want the baby. Well,
that baby. Oh.
Missouri.
She's very chatty today. She wants to be on the radio.
I paused for a moment. She stepped in. I love it.
Yes.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you, Alice.
So, in Missouri, they've got a born alive bill that they're putting forward through the state legislature. And there had originally been in this a provision that would allow for civil lawsuits related to chemical abortion cases. And so in a compromise, that portion of it's been removed so that the state's Born Alive bill can go forward. So we're hoping that Missouri will end up at least with that, since they're one of the states that ended up with an abortion amendment to their state constitution. So that's a big deal. There was an Ohio doctor. Here again, this is another thing with the abortion pill. An Ohio doctor. He is married, but is now engaging in an extramarital affair with a woman. And he forced her to take abortion drugs after finding out that she was pregnant. She thought that telling him that she was pregnant would have been something that he would be excited about. And instead, she talks about how he started screaming at her and so forth. So he did all this. The baby was killed, and he ended up being charged with 6 felonies for the whole situation. The doctor-patient relationship being violated by having an affair with a woman that was his patient. He ended up losing. He had his medical license suspended, thankfully. But then he has now pled no contest to 4 of the 6 felony charges in this case. And we'll see what he ends up being sentenced for. But I think we're looking at 5 years in prison and up to a $15,000 fine. So not much for murder.
I was going to say that's not enough. Not enough.
No. Yeah, you know, again, a doctor abusing the whole thing. That doesn't even go to the whole mail order abortion thing, because he's a doctor. He can get the abortion drugs readily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he did that. State of Montana, a state court. Now, this is not the appellate court or their state Supreme Court, just a state court, has ruled that the pro-life challenge to a constitutional amendment that was passed in 2024 which enshrines abortion rights in the Montana Constitution, was put forward unconstitutionally. And he's come forward and said that it was done constitutionally. So we'll watch for this and see if they appeal and go further up the pro-life people. There do seem to be some things about it that may be amiss with regard to their constitutional process for doing that. In Chicago, well, actually Granite City, Illinois, near Chicago, an abortion business chain opened up another clinic about a year ago, called the Hope Clinic. It's all trimester abortion facility.
Oh my goodness.
Up to birth. And so they've had at least two known emergencies in this short period of time that they've been open. And again, you know, the abortion facilities and the abortion advocates love to put out their propaganda as to what's happening. But the reality is that this woman was terrible what happened to her. And in many cases, the woman, not in this case, but in many cases, the woman is so severely injured that she too ends up dying. So this is just a nasty place, as all abortion facilities are, but extra nasty when they're doing them such late term like that and so forth.
Well, just because it's so unconscionable. I mean, of course, we know that it's an unborn child from the moment of conception. But there's something so diabolical about knowing that you are literally pulling a child limb by limb apart, and that doesn't sear your conscience. I mean, it's just, it's unfathomable.
It is. It is. Well, there's a Kentucky judge that needs to learn how to read plain language when it comes to human life. This judge struck down a portion of the state's abortion law that defined when human life begins. Okay. Now it comes, this whole case started with some Jewish women who sued the state because they were claiming it violated their religious freedoms not to be able to have abortions. But that failed. That failed. Yeah. So then they came back saying, because they want to be able to do in vitro fertilization, they would not be able to under Kentucky's law that defines when a human being is, because it includes embryos. So here's the language that the judge ruled was vague. What did he say? It was vague and unconstitutionally because of that. So here's the language of the law. It says, an individual living member of the species Homo sapiens throughout the entire embryonic and fetal stages of the unborn child from fertilization to full gestation and childbirth. That's the meaning of unborn child or unborn human being. It goes on to say that a fetus is a human being from fertilization until birth. And then it defines human being as any member of the species Homo sapiens from fertilization until death. Okay.
I don't know how you could be more absolutely crystal clear. That is, I mean, it's laughable. What is happening?
Unconstitutionally void for vagueness.
And, he's claiming it's unintelligible. Crazy.
Vague and unintelligible.
Well, just because he doesn't have the intellect to comprehend this doesn't mean the rest of the world doesn't. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm certain he has the intellect to comprehend. I would say, Angela, he has the intellect to comprehend.
He does. He's playing stupid.
He has a spiritual evil to not want to comprehend.
Well, sin makes us stupid, right? I mean, it does.
Just exactly. And it's just
this is a perfect example of sin makes us stupid.
Right. Oh, by the way, I want to go back a story or two real quick. This doctor that had the affair and the woman thought he'd be excited about her becoming pregnant. Women need to understand messing around with married men is a real stupid, idiotic thing to do, as well as sinful. Just simply, it's just ridiculously stupid that you think the guy is going to break off his marriage for you, or he's going to be excited, you know, just he's being an absolute moron to be seeking out an affair in the first place. Yeah. And you're sucking right into it. And it's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Tell your daughters and your grandchildren, don't do it.
Yeah.
There's a prime example right there. So, well, now we get a bad announcement coming out of President Trump. He is proposing that insurance companies expand coverage to include fertility treatments like in vitro fertilization. And so he's touting how much money his Trump RX program has saved Americans in millions of dollars for IVF drugs already. Now he wants to have it covered and make it a mandate that it be covered through by law for employers to have insurance that covers their employees for in vitro fertilization. But the U.S. bishops have urged Congress to reject anything related to IVF insurance mandates, pointing out that it would require that anything like this would require the conscience rights of Catholics to be seriously violated, as well as others as well. So good for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to be calling on Congress that way. There is a bill already in Congress that would cover, insurance would cover for IVF and have civil fines of $100 daily if you do not comply. Such evil.
It is.
And again, for those that are listening and haven't heard us give the real thorough explanations as to why IVF is so wrong, just the simple short of it is, number one, as Catholics, we believe and understand that the transmission of human life is to be done naturally. It's not to be done artificially. That's why artificial contraception is wrong. It's evil. That's why IVF at just engaging it is evil as well. But then on the other end of it with IVF is the creation of human beings who end up being destroyed and discarded. And then on top of that is the abuse side of it, where surrogacy starts to take place and people end up with having children that they didn't intend. You know, I mean, the implantation of somebody else's baby when it wasn't yours and that's what you were seeking to do happens, and on and on. So it's just replete with nothing but troubles and pitfalls, and is sinful. So
it is.
Canada, of course, Canada has had troubles with assisted suicide and euthanasia for a long time now.
Oh, man, yeah.
Now they got a government expert who's trying to argue for the death for people with eating disorders.
Yes, yeah. Any sort of mental health issue, they're really advocating for that. For any, I mean, essentially any reason. And it's going to continue down that path where they are going to be legalizing assisted suicide, euthanasia, for children. I mean, there's a push for that.
Yeah, to go as young as 13 already in some countries.
Yeah, it's horrific.
Yeah. And then, but in Alberta, Canada, they did just pass legislation that is expected to be sued into law that actually provides some safeguards to protect some vulnerable Albertans, as they say. It basically only allows for euthanasia and medical assistance in dying, as they call it, for those who have terminal illnesses. And of course, that also has problems galore and
yes, it
negates the great understanding of God's mercy as people are going toward death, which everybody goes toward. So
yep.
It's just amazing sometimes. That's all the time we have today. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.